Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Rudy, are you there? Hello? Hello? Rudy?
Yes.
Rudy, how
Hello.
You doing?
Very good, thank you.
Okay. I was actually, we were actually able to get the show going. So we have a little over 20 minutes left here in the show. Welcome back, Rudy DeReiter of CKV Bank. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today on CMC Radio. Rudy, welcome back. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. So good to have you back on the show. Now, for everyone that's just joining us with this particular series, this is part of a five-part series that we're doing with Rudy, and he is has been really involved in banking and running banks, really, right, and managing and really handling you know, the different facets that run into it. But Rudy, why don't you share with everybody just a little bit about your background quickly, just to pick everybody back up into where we are with you.
Yeah. So I'm Rudy. I was born in Mol, nearby Ghent in Belgium, and I studied law at University of Ghent, and I studied also economics at University of Ghent, and I was a trainee of ING Group for 24 months, and I was working for ING Group for 25 years. And I'm now already 4 years the CEO of a niche playing bank in near to Waregem, in the Flanders nearby Waregem in Belgium.
Very nice. Now, Rudy, I got to ask: is running a bank, you think, and finance different from, you know, by continent? Like, so what you do over in Europe and in Belgium, is it different from how it's run over here in the U.S.?
There are some differences in that case that I think the U.S. is about 1 or 2 years ahead in the new technologies and the new waves who are coming around banking. I'm talking about the payment systems. I'm talking about the way the payments are being done, the direct banking channels like iPhone apps and all kind of things. I think the United States is a bit ahead. Also, when we look back in 2008, the United States recovered much, much quicker from the Lehman story and the fall of some banks afterwards. And that's because of the legal and social system in the United States is much better orientated to change and to take the immediate actions who are required to change directions, which you did well, because if I look to the banking system in the United States now and I look at the banking system in Europe, we are about 3-4 years after ahead, and that's because we didn't cut into the measurements and we didn't cut in the staff like the United States were doing. And so
right.
I would say banking in the United States, it's more modern, more direct, and Belgium is more the old-fashioned way, and certainly Italy is one of the most problematic banking industries all over Europe at the moment.
Now, why is Italy in such a problem state?
Italy is, first of all, it's the Latin blood into the system, if I could say so, which is a very delicate position because I know there's a lot of Latino American people also. But they have had a lot of old-fashioned banking systems. They were the first bank in Europe, so if I talk about Banco Monte Paschi, which is well known because it's located in Siena and that's nearby Florence, which is well known even in the United States, I suppose, and they are existing from 1300, and they didn't change a lot, and at a certain moment in time, the old-fashioned way is by the competitors is out of the market. So the Italian banks are too old-fashioned, have not enough economic capital, And the new regulations which were installed after 2008 are not comfortable for those banks, so they need to do a lot of capital raise, which is not so easy to find. And the earning machine which were banks were are loss-making machines in some countries like Italy. So there will be, we need to find a solution for, especially for the non-performing loans on the balance sheet of the Italian banks. And there are a lot of them.
Now, is this something that you handle as well? I mean, you know, for... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, the big advantage of being the CEO of a small or medium bank in the European context is that I can change my direction in 48 hours. If I have a contact with my shareholder and a contact with my colleagues and we decide on it, we can immediately take the necessary actions and we can adapt immediately our systems to the new competitor or to the new defeats who are coming around us. If you are part of a big generalistic banking group, as the Italian banks are, or as ING is, or KBC, or RBS, then it takes a lot of committees and a lot of decision-making levels before the direction change can be made. And often even it should be comforted by a McKinsey or an Oliver Wyman before the board will take the decision to adapt the strategy. And so the moment of adaption is too slow, and even the momentum in market can be gone. Yeah, that's the main issue. Yeah.
With the larger bank, though, you don't have that ability to flip things around so quickly, right?
Exactly.
Right.
United States, the large banks were able to do well. And in Europe, they didn't. And that's also linked to the social and labor legislation in Europe, where to fire people is very expensive because we have a really protective system for the employees, which costs a lot of money if you will cut into your staff or your... And that's very difficult and it takes a lot of time.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, from our first conversation, you pretty much stressed how you like to keep work a very light environment, as you know, as fun as it can be, really, you know, in a corporate environment, right?
Exactly. I believe in social skills, and I believe in passion. I think that the difference between people is the passion. If they like to work and they have the passion to work, if they have the passion in an idea, if they have the passion in entrepreneurship, if you have people with passion, then I think you see it in the figures, like we do. Mm-hmm. And I strongly believe in that kind of people, optimistic people with passion. And I also think that in the United States, the mentality is more that way than in Europe. When you make a mistake, trial and error in Europe is not so well seen, and in the United States it will be seen as an opportunity to take on and to go further and further and to take a new opportunity. And that's something you need to... takes a lot of time before you get that into the mentality of the people, but I think in 2-3 years we have made a huge change, and I'm glad that we have been able to do that, and we see it in the figures. So good soft skills are visible in the hard skills. That's my personal opinion.
Sure, absolutely. And now, did your skills and experience progress over the years? I mean, did you learn how to kind of, you know, get into different habits and different ways to interact with people as your career progressed?
Yeah, of course. When you're young, in my case, I was too fast. Was my biggest mistake. So I thought everybody understood my meaning. And if I looked back, I lost my team. My team was still two yards after me. And so I have been learning to have patience and to repeat and to repeat and to repeat my ideas until they are assumed by the group. And if the group assumes the ideas, then you can go forward. And not the other way around. That was one of my biggest mistakes I made in the early years of banking. And I learned a lot of that. Then secondly, you should also try to listen to the people who don't speak. That's maybe difficult to explain, but there are silent people who are very intelligent, but they don't talk, and there is a sort of silence into the group, and you need to detect that silence, in my opinion, and to try to divine or to find why they are silent and what is in their mind. And that is something you need to do also. It was also a second big mistake, that you often listen to the people in working groups and projects, to the people who are talking a lot and the people who are the most loudly, but often the silent guys are also very important and are sometimes even much more intelligent than those who talk whole a lot and they listen very well. So that was a third mistake I make. We only have one mouth and two ears, and we should use that in that sense. And often a lot of people are using more the mouth than the two ears. So I think that were my three largest mistakes in behavioralism attitude that I have changed. And I think that's a good thing. And then the most important thing I learned is think logical. And
right.
If you don't understand some constructions or products, ask and ask again. Even if it looks stupid, ask and ask again until you understand the product and it's clear for you before you take the decision. And keep it simple, because sometimes those products are very complicated. And I'm talking now about derivatives, and I'm talking about collateral, and I'm talking about constructions. And I believe in KISS, keep it simple, and in easy constructions. Common sense is the most important point, I think.
Sure, and oftentimes I think common sense gets overlooked because you kind of overthink things.
Yeah. And then the difference, of course, also is that the banking system in Europe, I think also in the United States, but certainly in Europe, is very regulated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you compare with another business, then regulations and compliance and tax and rules are in Europe decided at three places. They are decided in Frankfurt, they are decided in London, and they are decided in Brussels, which is difficult because the angles are not always in the same direction. And so it has demand a lot of staff and a lot of costs in the banking industry to cover those new regulations, reportings, and so on. And it's creating a lot of overhead, and then the discussion is it overhead that facilitates the process so then it's efficient for the company? But if it's overhead only to produce and report, then it's really a heavy cost for banking industry in Europe, which is the case for some banks.
Right. Now, where do you get your information from, or who, should I say, reports information to you that is pertinent to the functioning of the bank?
Internally, I have a very good team. I always call it my dream team, because
mm-hmm.
that are people who are working here for about 20 years, and they are very good in what they are doing. But the world around, that's something I learned more from my past in the ING environment. And I'm involved in what we call the Banking Association in Brussels, where I'm a member, a very permanent member, where I get the information from Frankfurt and from the banking colleagues, because we see each other each month and then we talk about all the issues that are on our agenda for my colleagues and myself. And that is always, number one, is always regulation at the moment. And cyber crime and security, which is not astonishing, I think, that are the two points mm-hmm. are coming back each meeting. And then, of course, I am a very curious guy. I'm a very curious guy, so I read a lot. And I have
right.
a lot of information channels. And I have still my mentees from ING as before, with whom I try to see them once a year. and we do a cover up about what's going on in banking and how do we see the evolutions and how we think a bank should look in 2020, 2025, and what should we do to adapt to attain that hurdle further and further. So that's the way I'm informed, and I try to share that with my colleagues and to go further.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, have you ever seen anything in recent years or very recent that has surprised you or shocked you? I mean, did you learn anything? Have you ever had anything come up to you, basically by watching the television, that you knew, oh boy, this is something big that's going to affect everything?
You mean, yeah, of course, we saw a lot of new technologies and a lot of new entries in banking system, not in the total banking system, but I don't know if it's known in the United States, but if you look in Portugal, but I think it's from developed by Americans, Cabash system. So every bank has what they call internal rating models, and they try to find as quickly as possible a decision-making process, an expert system or something else. And that's always done on the statistic information, the data information that we know about our clients. Mm-hmm. And in Portugal, Cabish, what did they do? They totally changed the algorithms of the models, and they look into your family, your friends on Facebook, your Twitters, your WhatsApp, your school results, and so on, and they are able to decide a credit amount in the consumer loan in 3 minutes automatically.
Whoa.
If wow. you are in the wow. green zone, right, of course you have green, orange, and red. If you are in the red, then the behavioral algorithm have said no. But if it's positive in 3 minutes, and that's something young guys are appreciate, they're going to buy a car, a Mercedes or a BMW, and then they want to have the car, they don't have the money, and they want to have the decision by their bank as soon as possible. And with this Cabish system, which is totally revolutionary in the market, I said, wow. So it's even so that some guys are laughing with it, but it's by choosing your Facebook friends, you can change your rating. I repeat, by changing your Facebook friends, your rating can go positively or negatively.
Wow.
So if I have a lot of rich and wealthy friends or girlfriends even, which is more better, then your rating goes up. In the old... Your rating would go down with those kind of friendships. No, I'm laughing, but
that is crazy. That's crazy.
Cabish, and so the speed astonished me. 3 minutes, and the psychological behavior in the algorithm behind the model was something which has really made a big impression on me, and I'm following them, and they're still in the market. And they are working together with Banco Santander, which is one of the main banks in Spain and Portugal. But I thought it came from the United States. I have made some remarks on it on Twitter and LinkedIn, and I saw some reactions in the group where I was active from the States. So I think it's something that's developed in the States also. But it's quite totally different kind of looking into the banking industry. Totally different.
Does it shock you that social media can play into things like that these days?
I'm not shocked by it. I think it's the normal evolution. If I see that the use of the iPhone and the cellular has increased by a way which was incredibly fast, so everybody has his own cell phone, everybody has... Even at 6 years old, they have a cell phone, and everybody wants to know ASAP everything is happening. And so if I see the developing in apps and so on, and I think really that by the comments and the friendships of social media, certainly of the younger guys between us, you can determine their capability or at least their willingness to repay the loan that they have had from a bank, so they can predict, in my point of view, the default ratio. Yeah, I think the probability of default can be measured. Yeah, and if you have enough capital, it's a capital light product. So I think for a bank, it's very rentable to have such a system. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not astonished by that. I think it's the normal evolution.
Yeah.
But I still believe also in the old-fashioned. I think you need to have a combination between the two. Because,
what do you think is most important to maintaining good financial status? I mean, you know, what are mistakes that we'll say? We'll talk about young people quickly. What is it about
young people
that they need to do to really secure themselves?
I think they should keep in mind some common sense. So one of the rules that I always tell them, if you want to buy something and you take a loan and you have debt, always keep in mind that the debt should be repaid and that you should not over-debt yourself. So in Europe, it's a bit different by the United States, but if you have a salary of 100, your repayment capacity should be maximum 33% of your installments of that month, and on a yearly base your debts should not be more than your total year salary.
Right.
And if you keep in mind those two ratios, then you have a buffer, because sometimes guys are together and then they take a loan with two people and then one of them is leaving or they're getting divorced or something else like that, and you should be able to foresee also a plan B if something like that happens. I'm a strong believer in those two ratios, and I'm a strong believer in plan A and a plan B. I think you should always have a plan B in each negotiation, in each discussion. I'm trained to have a plan B and C in each circumstances. And that's my former job as a head of restructuring Europe for ING. It was very important to have a plan A, B, and C, and to be very flexible in changing from one point to the other. And I think for the younger guys, if you have a job and you keep in mind those two ratios, go for it. And go for it with passion, and then I think everything comes okay.
All right. Well, Rudy, unfortunately, we are running out of time for today's show. I do want to thank you for coming on, and we're going to have you back on in about 2 weeks' time. I know your schedule is a little crazy with everything going on, but why don't you tell people real quick the best way to find out more about the bank and yourself?
If you find it, if you look into LinkedIn, Twitter, and so on, you can find me on rudy.deruiter@ckv.be. Or if you're looking to the best bank in Belgium, you also find CKV. If you look in the best CEO in banking, you also find CKV. So I think I'm visible on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook for some guys between us. And if you look into the website, you will immediately find CKV, which is now active in Belgium and will be active in France from the 1st of March also. So if you're looking for a beautiful house near to Gordes or in the Provence region, please be welcome to visit our site. We have real opportunities for buying or selling homes in that region. And it's really beautiful. The wine is okay. And and they are speaking French. That's maybe disappointing, but they're speaking French. That's the only error there is. Yeah.
All right, Rudy. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show today, and we'll see you in about 2 weeks, all right?
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. From everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Have a great day, everybody.